هذا يوم لا ينطقون ولا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. That day will be one in which none will speak, and nor will they be allowed to offer excuses. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. After a portrayal of the horror of the day of judgment, the helplessness of the criminals is depicted. Today, all these people are trying to be very eloquent and persuasive in their denial of the day of judgment. However, on that day, they will not even be able to open their mouths. No one will be able to speak. In Surah Naba, the counterpart of this surah, the words are لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا, or on whose behalf there is no one who has the authority to speak. Surah Naba 78, verse 37. It is specifically mentioned in the Quran that on the day of judgment, the mouths of the criminals will be sealed and the Almighty will give power of speech to their limbs, which will then bear witness to all their crimes. They will neither dare open their mouths, nor will they be allowed to present any excuse. The recurrent verse then follows, and its placement and occasion are very obvious, and they are, when they will neither even be able to take the initiative in speaking, nor will they be granted permission to present any excuse they may have, what is in store for them except death and devastation? هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. This is the day of judgment. We have gathered you and all those before you. Now if you have a scheme to plot against me, then do so. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. These verses directly address the disbelievers. It should be kept in mind that when they would make fun of the day of judgment, they would mockingly ask whether their ancestors too will be raised to life. By this sarcastic question, their intention was to prove that the day of judgment was the most impossible of events. They would scornfully reckon that how can it be imagined that all their ancestors will be brought back to life? It is while keeping this question of theirs in consideration that the Quran has emphasized its claim by saying, جَمَعْنَاكُمْ وَالْأَوَّلِينَ, or we have gathered you and all those before you. The implication of the verse فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ is that in the previous world, these disbelievers contrived great plots to defeat the Messenger of God, and if they now have any scheme left, they should test it too. They have with them all the people of their clan, both those before them and those who came later, and if these people are in a position to help them, then they should seek their help too. Here one needs to keep in mind the fact that all efforts undertaken by the disbelievers to deny their messenger are called kaidun, or plot, by the Quran. The reason for using this word is that all these efforts on their part were merely aimed at saving their position of leadership, as has been explained at various places in this tafsir. They were fully convinced of the veracity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, their egotism and self-centeredness did not let them acknowledge this fact. Moreover, they went about inventing various objections and doubts in order to give the impression to the masses that whatever they were doing was based on reasoning, and that they wanted to protect their ancestral religion through this. The truth of the matter, as unveiled by the Quran in this verse, was that this was a plot and contrivance on their part. This verse is followed by the recurrent verse. Again, its placement and occasion are very clear. Their helplessness before the demand of God, referred to earlier, will become evident to them, and they will face the devastation that will come to them as a result of this denial. It will totally rout them.
إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون.
Indeed, the God-fearing will be amid shades and springs, and in the bliss of fruits they desire. The fate which the criminals will encounter on the day of judgment is mentioned in the preceding verses. They will be marshaled to a fire whose smoke will engulf them from all sides. Now in these verses, the fate of the righteous is being mentioned. When blessings are mentioned in the manner they are in this verse, The purpose is to bring to light the fact that these blessings will embrace them from all sides. This style can be observed at many places in the Quran, and one can observe several examples of it in classical Arabic poetry.
كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
Eat and drink with relish as reward for your deeds. This verse gives glad tidings to the righteous. Eating and drinking will be soothing to them, and the food and drinks will be absolutely pure and unadulterated. They will be rewarded for their deeds. This is a reference to the fact that whatever the ingrates did in this world will be of no benefit to them in the hereafter. In fact, it will become a source of their destruction because they did not fulfill the obligation with such favors as eating and drinking entail. On the contrary, what the righteous ate and drank in this world will be of benefit to them because they fulfilled all their obligations and duties. The word hani'an means to be beneficial and advantageous. It is an accusative of state from the object evident from the previous verb. In Surah Nisa, the words are فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيًا مَرِيًا, in which the zulhal is evident. It is very common for an accusative of state to occur from a zulhal. For example, it is said of a traveler, Rashidan Mahdiya.
إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
Thus do we reward the well-doers. This verse points to verse 18 above, whose words are
كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ,
or thus do we deal with criminals. Here in contrast, the dealing of God with the well-doers is referred to.
وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
The placement and occasion of this recurrent verse are quite obvious. On the one hand, the righteous shall be in eternal bliss, and on the other, the disbelievers shall be subject to severe punishment, as is alluded to earlier. One should imagine the wide gulf between the two. When the two groups will witness one another's fates, at that time, the people who were lured by the pleasures of this world and did not care for the hereafter will realize their wretched fate.
كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
You may eat and enjoy also for a while. You are the wrongdoers. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. Here at the end, the leaders of the Quraysh are addressed. What is said in the preceding verses was also addressed to them. However, that address was couched in the form of statements of principles. Here they are directly addressed and told that they should not be misled by the luxuries of life they possess in this world, and construe that in the hereafter too, they will be blessed with them. On the contrary, these luxuries are transient. If they want to be their recipients in the hereafter too, they should adopt righteousness. They are wrongdoers, and they will get what has been detailed in the previous verses. The placement and occasion of the recurrent verse are clear. Such devastation as cannot be imagined in this world shall be upon the disbelievers on that day.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
And when they are asked to kneel before their Lord, they do not do so. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. After the disbelievers had addressed in the previous verses, here in this verse, the address has become indirect. They are reprimanded on their belief that they will be blessed with the luxuries and comforts in the hereafter too, since they have been blessed with them in this world. When they are told to kneel before the Almighty in order to express gratitude to His favors, they do not comply. On the contrary, they express arrogance. Kneeling down here actually refers to the prayer, which is the greatest manifestation of showing gratitude to the Almighty and the greatest destroyer of arrogance and pride. The placement and occasion of the recurrent verse are evident. The megalomaniacs and the haughty who are not ready to carry out their obligations and yet want their rights to be fulfilled should remember that their desires shall never be fulfilled. They will one day witness what is going to happen to them. Here one should keep in mind what is said in Surah Qalam, when on the day of judgment these disbelievers will be called to prostrate before the Almighty, they will not be able to do so because they never prostrated before Him in this world. This will prove that they too are among the arrogant, and for this reason, they too will deserve the punishment which is specifically reserved for the arrogant. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ So what is it after this that they are going to believe? This verse reprimands the disbelievers on their stubbornness and expresses helplessness about their embracing faith. When they do not profess faith in what the Quran is warning them about, then what else will they profess faith in? In other words, nothing can be more persuasive, more eloquent, and more potent than the Quran. When it is not able to influence their hearts and minds, then what more can convince them? In other words, this verse actually assures the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the ailment of the disbelievers is incurable. They cannot be convinced through reason and argument. They will only believe when they see everything with their own eyes, but at that time, disbelief will be of no use to them. Some people have interpreted the word ba'dahu to mean that after the advent of this day, in which thing will they profess faith? To them, the verse means that if professing faith by paying heed to these warnings is beneficial, it is today. Whether they profess faith or not, when that day comes, would become immaterial. On that day, everyone will profess faith, but this will not be of benefit to any one of them. Although this interpretation is possible, yet if the parallels of the Quran are kept in consideration, the interpretation I have done seems more convincing. In Surah Jathiyah, the words are, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ Or, And what can be greater than the revelations of God in which they will profess faith? Surah number 45, verse 6. Although both these interpretations are correct, and the purport of the verses is not much different in either, however, my interpretation seems more comprehensive. God knows best, and His knowledge is all-embracing and sound. With the grace of God, I come to the end of the tafsir of this surah. فَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ أَوَّلًا وَآخِرًا Or, gratitude be to God from the beginning to the end. Rahmanabad, 8th of March, 1979 AD, 8th of Rabiul Thani, 1399 AH.